Chapter 41. Kaol and Dorian stood on a balcony and watched the carnival be dismantled bit by bit. It would leave tomorrow morning, and then Kaol could finally have his men back to doing useful things, like making sure no other assassins got into the castle. But Kaol's most pressing problem was Selena. Late last night, after the royal librarian had gone to bed, Kaol had returned to the library and found the genealogy records. Someone had gotten them all out of order, so it had taken him a while to locate the right one. But he at last found himself staring at the list of Terrasen's noble houses. None of them bore the name of Sardothian, though that was little surprise. Part of him had always known that wasn't Selena's true name. So he'd made a list that now sat in his pocket, burning a hole through it, of all the noble houses she might have come from, houses with children at the time of Terrasen's conquest. There were at least 6 families that had survived. But what if she hailed from one that had been entirely slaughtered? When he had finished writing down the names, he was no closer to figuring out who she really was than he'd been at the start. "So are you going to ask me whatever it is you dragged me out here to ask, or am I just going to enjoy freezing my ass off for the rest of the night?" Dorian said. Kaol raised a brow, and Dorian gave him a slight smile. "How is she?" Kaol asked. He'd heard that they'd had dinner, and that she hadn't left his rooms until the middle of the night. Had it been a deliberate move on her part? Something to throw in his face, make him ache just a bit more? "Coping," Dorian said. "Coping as best she can. And since I know you're too proud to ask it, I'll just tell you that no, she hasn't mentioned you. Nor do I think she will." Kaol took a long breath. How could he convince Dorian to stay away from her? Not because he was jealous, but because Selena might be more of a threat than Dorian could ever imagine. Only the truth would work, but... "Your father is curious about you," Dorian said. "After the council meetings, he always asks me about you. I think he wants you back in Aniel."
"I know."
"Are you going to go with him?"
"Do you want me to?
It's not for me to decide." Kaol clamped his teeth. He certainly wasn't going anywhere, not while Selena was here, and not just because of who she actually was.
"I have no interest in being Lord of Aniel."
"Men would kill for the kind of power that Aniel wields."
"I've never wanted it."
"No." Dorian braced his hands on the balcony rail.
"No, you've never wanted anything for yourself, save for the position you have now. And Selena."
Kaol opened his mouth, excuses already forming on his tongue. "You think I'm blind?" Dorian asked, his gaze a frozen ice blue.
"Do you know why I approached her at the Yulmus ball? Not because I wanted to ask her to dance, but because I saw the way you two were looking at each other. Even then, I knew how you felt."
"You knew, and yet you asked her to dance?"
His hands clenched into fists. "She's capable of making up her own mind. And she did." Dorian gave him a bitter smile. "About both of us." Kaol took a steadying breath, calming his rising anger.
"If you feel the way you do, then why let her stay shackled to your father? Why not find a way to get her out of her contract? Or are you just afraid that if you set her free, she'll never come back to you?"
"I'd be careful what you say," Dorian said softly. But it was true.
Even though he couldn't imagine a world without Selena, Kaol knew he had to get her out of this castle. Yet he couldn't tell if it was for Otterlin's sake or her own.
"My father is temperamental enough to punish me, and her, if I try to broach that subject."
"I agree with you. I truly do. It's not right to keep her here. But you should still mind what you say."
The Crown Prince of Otterlin stared him down.
"And consider where your true loyalties lie."
Once, Kaol might have argued. Once, he might have protested that his loyalty to the crown was his greatest asset. But that blinding loyalty and obedience had started this descent. And it had destroyed everything. Selena knew she'd only been out for a few seconds, but it was long enough for Yellowlegs to yank her arms behind her back and get the chain around her wrists. Her head was pounding, and blood slid down the side of her neck, trickling into her tunic. Nothing too bad. She'd had worse wounds. Her weapons were gone, though, discarded somewhere in the wagon. Even the ones in her hair and clothes. And boots. Clever woman. So she didn't give the witch a chance, not even a heartbeat, to realize she was conscious. With no warning, she surged her shoulders up, throwing back her head as hard as she could. Bone cracked, and Yellowlegs howled, but Selena had already twisted, getting her legs beneath her. Yellowlegs scrambled for the other end of the chain, fast as a viper. Selena stomped on the length of chain between them, her other foot lashing out to meet Yellowlegs' face. The woman went flying, as though she were made of nothing but dust and wind, tumbling into the shadows between mirrors. Swearing under her breath, Selena's wrists ached against the cold iron. But she'd been taught to free herself from worse. Aerobin had bound her up from head to toe and made her learn how to get loose, even if it meant spending 2 days prostrate on the ground and in her own filth, or dislocating her shoulder to get out. So not all that surprisingly, she had the chains off in a matter of seconds. She yanked a handkerchief from her pocket and used it to snatch up a long mirror shard. Angling the glass, Selena peered into the shadows where Yellowlegs had gone flying. Nothing. Just a smear of dark blood.
Do you know how many young women I've trapped in this wagon in the past 500 years?
Yellowlegs' voice was everywhere and nowhere.
How many Crokin witches I destroyed? They were warriors, too. Such talented, beautiful warriors. They tasted like summer grass and cool water.
Confirming that Yellowlegs was a blue-blooded iron-teeth witch changed nothing, Selena told herself. Nothing except that she'd have to find a bigger weapon. Selena scanned the wagon. For the witch, for her lost daggers, for anything to use against the crone. Her gaze lifted to the shelves on the nearby wall. Books, crystal balls, paper, dead things in jars. Selena would have missed it if she'd blinked. It was coated in dirt, but still gleamed faintly in the light of the distant oven. Mounted on the wall above a woodpile was a long, single-blade axe. She smiled faintly as she yanked it off the wall. All around, Yellowlegs' image danced in the mirrors, 1,000 possibilities for where she could be standing, watching, waiting. Selena swung the axe at the nearest one, and then the next, and then the next. The only way to kill a witch is to cut off her head. A friend had told her that once. Selena wove between the mirrors, smashing them as she went, the reflections of the crone vanishing, until the real witch stood along the narrow pathway between Selena and the hearth, the chain back in her hands. Selena hefted the axe over a shoulder. "One more chance," she breathed. "You agree to never say one word about me and Dorian, and I'll walk out of here."
"I can taste your lies," Yellowlegs said.
Faster than should be possible, she came for Selena, scuttling like a spider, the chain swinging from her fingers. Selena dodged the first whip of the chain. She heard the second before she saw it, and though it missed her, it struck a mirror and glass exploded everywhere. Selena had no choice but to shield her eyes, to look away for one heartbeat. It was enough. The chain wrapped around her ankle, stinging and bruising, and then yanked. The world tilted as Yellowlegs pulled her feet out from under her, and Selena went crashing to the floor. Yellowlegs rushed for her, but Selena rolled across the shards, chain tangling around her, clinging to the axe with one hand, until her face brushed against the coarse fibers of the ancient rug before the oven. There was a firm yank on the chain, and then another whipping sound. Metal slammed into Selena's forearm, so hard that she lost her grip on the axe. She flipped onto her back, still tangled in the infernal chain, only to find the iron teeth of Baba Yellowlegs looming above her. In a flash, the witch slammed Selena back down into the carpet. The iron nails dug into her skin, drawing blood as the witch pinned her by the shoulder.
"Hold still, you foolish girl,"
Yellowlegs hissed, grabbing for the length of the chain lying nearby. The rug scratched against Selena's fingers as she stretched for the fallen axe, just inches out of reach.
Her arm throbbed mercilessly, her ankle, too. If she could just get the axe. Yellowlegs lunged for Selena's neck, her teeth snapping. Selena threw herself to the side, narrowly dodging those iron teeth, and grabbed the axe at last. She hauled it up so hard that its blunt end slammed into the side of the old woman's face. Yellowlegs was knocked away, collapsing in a heap of billowing brown robes. Selena scrambled back and raised the weapon between them. Pushing to her hands and knees, Yellowlegs spat dark blood, blue blood, onto the aged rug, her eyes blazing.
I am going to make you wish you'd never been born, both you and your prince.
And then Yellowlegs shot forward so fast, Selena could have sworn she was flying. But she only got as far as Selena's feet. Selena brought the axe down, throwing every bit of strength into her arms. Blue blood sprayed everywhere. There was a smile on Baba Yellowlegs' decapitated head as it thudded to a stop. Quiet fell. Even the fire, still burning so hot that she was sweating again, seemed to have gone silent. Selena swallowed. Once. Twice. Dorian couldn't know. Even though she wanted to scold him to high hell for asking questions that Yellowleg had deemed valuable enough to sell to others, he couldn't know what had happened here. No one could. When she at last found the strength to disentangle herself, her pants and boots were stained blue-black. Another outfit to be burned. She studied the body and the stained, soaking carpet. It hadn't been quick, but it could still be clean. A missing person was better than a decapitated corpse. Selena raised her eyes to the large oven grate. Chapter 42. Mort chuckled when she staggered through the tomb door.
Witch Slayer, are you? Another lovely title to add to your repertoire.
How do you know about that? She asked, setting down her candle. She'd already burned her bloodied clothes. They had reeked as they burned. Reeked like rotting flesh, just as Yellowlegs had. Fleetfoot had growled at the fireplace and tried to herd Selena away by pressing her body against her legs.
Oh, I can smell her on you, Mort said. Smell her fury and wickedness.
Selena peeled back the collar of her tunic to show the little cuts where Yellowlegs' nails had pierced the skin right above her collarbone. She'd cleaned them out, but had a feeling they would leave marks, a necklace of scars.
What do you make of those?
Mort winced.
Those make me grateful I'm made of bronze.
Will they harm me?
You killed a witch, and you're now marked by a witch. It will not be the usual sort of wound.
Mort's eyes narrowed.
You understand that you may have just landed yourself in a heap of trouble.
Selena groaned.
Baba Yellowlegs was a leader, a queen to her clan, Mort went on. When they destroyed the Kraken family, they joined with the Blackbeaks and the Bluebloods in the Iron Teeth Alliance. They still honor those oaths.
But I thought all the witches were gone, scattered to the winds.
Gone? The Krakens and those who follow them have been in hiding for generations, but the clans in the Iron Teeth Alliance still travel about, as Baba did. Though many more of them live in the ruined and dark places of the world, content in their wickedness. But I suspect that when the Yellowlegs learn of their matron's death, they will muster the Blackbeaks and the Bluebloods and demand answers from the king. And you will be fortunate if they do not come on their brooms and drag you into it.
She grimaced.
I hope you're wrong.
Mort's brows lowered slightly.
So do I.
Selena spent an hour in the tomb, reading through the riddle on the wall, puzzling over Yellowlegs' words. Word keys, word gates. It was all so strange, so incomprehensible and terrifying. And if the king had them, if he even had one. Selena shuddered. When staring at the riddle gave her no further answers, Selena trudged back to her rooms for a much-needed nap. At least she'd finally discovered a possible source of the king's power. But she still needed to learn more. And the real question, what was the king planning to do with the keys that he had not done already? She had a feeling she didn't want to know.
but the library catacombs might contain the answer to that most horrible of questions. There was a book she could use to gain access to that answer, a book that might have the unlocking spell she was looking for. And she knew that the Walking Dead would find her the moment she began looking for it. Halfway up to her rooms, all plans for a nap vanished, as Selena turned back around and went to retrieve Damaris and every other ancient blade she could carry. He shouldn't be here. He was only asking for trouble, another fight that might wind up tearing the castle in two. And if Selena attacked him again, Kaol knew with absolute certainty that he'd let her kill him if she really wanted. He didn't even know what he'd say to her, but he had to say something, if only to end the silence and the tension that kept him awake night after night and prevented him from focusing on his duties. She wasn't in her rooms, but he went in anyway, wandering over to her desk. It was as messy as Dorian's and covered in papers and books. He might have turned away had he not seen the strange symbols written on everything. Symbols that reminded him of the mark he'd seen burn on her forehead at the duel. He'd somehow forgotten about it in the months that had gone by. Was it something connected to her past? Glancing over his shoulder, listening for any sign of Philippa or Selena, he rifled through the documents. Just scribblings, drawings of the symbols and random underlined words. Perhaps they were no more than doodles, he tried to tell himself. He was about to turn away when he caught sight of a document peeking out from a stack of books. It was written in careful calligraphy and signed by multiple people. Easing it out from under the books, Kaol picked up the thick paper and read. The world dropped out from beneath his feet. It was Selena's will, signed 2 days before Nehemia's death. And she'd given everything, every last copper, to him. His throat tightened as he stared at the sum and the list of assets, including an apartment in a warehouse in the slums and all the wealth inside. And she had signed it all to him, with only one request, that he consider giving some of it to Philippa. I'm not going to change it. He whirled, finding her leaning against the doorframe, her arms crossed. Though the position was so familiar, her face was cold, blank. He let the document slip from his fingers. The list of noble houses in his pocket became leaden. What if he'd been jumping to conclusions? Perhaps the song wasn't actually a dirge of Terrasen. Maybe it had been another language he'd never heard of. She watched him like a cat. It would be too much trouble to bother changing it, she went on. She wore a beautiful, ancient-looking blade at her side, along with a few daggers he'd never seen before. Where had she gotten them? There were so many words trying to work their way out of him that he couldn't speak at all. All of that money. She'd left everything to him. Left it to him because of what she'd felt for him. Even Dorian had seen it from the start. At least now, she said, pushing off the doorframe and turning away. When the king sacks you for being so damn lousy at your job, you'll have something to fall back on. He couldn't breathe. She hadn't just done it out of generosity, but rather because she knew that if he ever lost his position, he'd have to consider going back to Aniel, to his father's money, and that it'd kill part of him to do that. But she'd have to be dead for him to see that money. Verifiably dead, and not a traitor to the crown, either. If she died a traitor, then all her assets had to go to the king. And the only way she'd die a traitor would be for her to do what he feared. Ally with this secret organization. Find Aelin Galathinius and return to Terrasen. This was a hint that she had no intention of doing that. She had no plans to reclaim her lost title and posed no threat to Otterlen or Dorian. He'd been wrong. Yet again, he'd been wrong. Get out of my chambers, she said from the foyer, before striding into the gaming room and slamming the door behind her. He hadn't wept when Nehemia died, or when he'd thrown Selena in the dungeons, or even when she'd returned with Graves' head, utterly different from the woman he had grown to love so fiercely. But when Kaol walked out, leaving that damning will behind him, he didn't even make it to his own room. He barely made it into an empty broom closet, before the sobs hit. Chapter 43. Selena stood in the gaming room, staring at the pianoforte as she heard Kaol quickly leave. She hadn't played in weeks. Originally, it had been just because she didn't have time. Because Archer in the tomb and Kaol had occupied every moment of her day. Then Nehemia had died, and she hadn't gone into this room once, hadn't wanted to look at the instrument, hadn't wanted to hear or make music ever again. Shoving the encounter with Kaol out of her mind, Selena slowly folded back the lid of the pianoforte and stroked the ivory keys. But she couldn't push down, couldn't bring herself to make a sound. Nehemia should have been here, to help with Yellowlegs and the riddle, to tell her what to do with Kaol, to smile as Selena played something particularly clever for her. Nehemia was gone, and the world, it was moving on without her. When Sam had died, she had tucked him into her heart, tucked him in alongside her other beloved dead, whose names she kept so secret she sometimes forgot them. But Nehemia wouldn't fit. It was as if her heart was too full of the dead, too full of those lives that had ended well before their time. She couldn't seal Nehemia away like that, not when that blood-stained bed and those ugly words still haunted her every step, every breath. So Selena just hovered at the pianoforte, tracing her fingers over the keys again and again, and let the silence devour her. An hour later, Selena stood before the strange second staircase at the end of the forgotten hall of ancient records, a clock chiming somewhere far in the library above. The images of Faye and Flora danced along the firelit stairwell, spiraling out of sight, down and down into unknown depths. She'd found The Walking Dead almost immediately, discarded on a lonely table between some stacks, as though it had been waiting for her. And it had been the work of a few minutes to find a spell inside that claimed to unlock any door. She'd quickly memorized it, practicing a few times on a locked closet. It had taken all her self-control not to scream when she'd heard the lock snap free the first time. Or the second. It was no wonder Nehemia and her family kept such power a secret. And no wonder the King of Otterland had sought it out for himself. Staring down into the stairwell, Selena touched Damaris, then looked at the two jeweled daggers hanging from her belt. She was fine, no reason to be nervous. What sort of evil did she expect to find in a library of all places? Surely the king had better places to hide his dark dealings. At best, she'd find more hints as to whether he had any word keys and where he kept them. At worst, she would run into the cloaked person she'd seen outside the library that night. But the glowing eyes she'd glimpsed on the other side of that door belonged to a rodent of some sort. Nothing more. And if she was wrong, well, whatever it was, after taking down the Ritterak, this shouldn't be too hard, right? Right. Selena stepped forward, pausing on the landing. Nothing. No feelings of terror, no otherworldly warnings. Not a thing. She took another step, then another, holding her breath as she wound around the staircase until she could no longer see the top. She could have sworn that the etchings on the wall moved all around her, that the beautiful feral faces of the Fae turned to look as she passed. The only noises were her footsteps and the whispering of the torch flame. A chill ran down her spine, and Selena stopped as the dark void of the hallway came into view. She was at the sealed iron door a moment later. She didn't give herself the luxury of reconsidering her plan as she took out her piece of chalk and traced two word marks onto the door, whispering the accompanying words at the same time. They burned on her tongue, but as she finished speaking, she heard a faint, dull thud as something in the door slid open. She swore under her breath. The spell truly worked. She didn't want to think about all that implied, about how it was able to work on iron, the one element supposedly immune to magic. And not when there were so many awful spells contained in The Walking Dead. Spells to summon demons, to raise the dead, to torture others until they begged for death. With a firm tug, she yanked the door open, wincing as it whined across the gray stone floor. A stale, cold breeze ruffled her hair.
she drew Damaris.
After checking and double-checking that she could not be locked inside, she crossed the threshold. Her torch revealed a small staircase of about 10 steps, which led down to another long, narrow passageway. Cobwebs and dust filled every inch of it, but it wasn't the neglected look of the place that made her pause. Rather, it was the doors, the dozens of iron doors that lined both sides of the hallway. All as nondescript as the door behind her, all revealing nothing of what might be behind them. At the opposite end of the hall, another iron door gleamed dully in the torchlight. What was this place? She descended the stairs. It was so silent, as if the very air held its breath. She held her torch high, Damaris in her other hand, and approached the first iron door. It had no handle, the surface marked only by a single line. The door across from it had 2 marks, numbers 1 and 2. Odd numbers on the left, even on the right. She kept moving, igniting torch after torch, brushing away the curtains of cobwebs. As she walked farther down the hall, the numbers on the doors rose. Is this some sort of dungeon? But the floor held no traces of blood, no remnants of bones or weapons. It didn't even smell that bad, just dusty, dry. She tried opening one of the doors, but it was firmly locked. All of the doors were locked, and some instinct told her to keep them that way. Her head throbbed slightly with the beginnings of a headache. The hallway went on and on, until she reached the door at the far end. The cells on either side numbered 98 and 99. Beyond them was a final unmarked door. She set her torch in a bracket beside the last door and grabbed the ring on the door to pull it open. This one was significantly lighter than the first, but also locked. And unlike the doors lining the hall, this one seemed to ask her to unlock it, as though it needed to be opened. So Selena sketched the unlocking spell again, the chalk bone white against the ancient metal. The door yielded without a sound. Perhaps these were Gavin's dungeons, from the time of Brannan. That would explain the Fae depictions on the staircase above. Perhaps he'd used these iron-gated cells to imprison the demon soldiers of Erewhon's army, or the wicked things Gavin and his warband hunted down. Her mouth went dry as she passed through the second door and ignited the torches along the way. Again, the light revealed a small set of stairs leading down into a hallway. Yet this one veered to the right and was significantly shorter. There was nothing in the shadows, just more and more locked iron doors on either side. It was so, so quiet. She walked until she reached the door on the other end of the hall. 66 cells this time, all sealed shut. She unlocked the end door with the word marks. She entered the third passageway, which also made a sharp right turn, and found it to be even shorter. 33 cells. The fourth hall veered right again, and she counted 22 cells. The slight throbbing in her head turned into a full-on pounding. But it was so far to her rooms, and she was here already. Selena paused before the fourth end door. It's a spiral, a labyrinth, bringing you deeper and deeper inside, farther below ground. She bit her lip but unlocked the door. 11 cells. She increased her pace and swiftly reached the fifth door. 9 cells. She approached the sixth door and halted. A different sort of chill went through her as she stared at the sixth portal. The center of the spiral? As the chalk met the iron door to form the word marks, a voice in the back of her mind told her to run. And though she wanted to listen, she opened the door anyway. Her torch revealed a hallway in ruin. Parts of the walls had caved in, and the wooden beams were left in splinters. Cobwebs stretched between the broken shafts of wood, and tattered scraps of cloth, impaled upon rock and beam, swayed in the slight breeze. Death had been here, and not too long ago. If this place were as ancient as Gavin and Brannan, most of the cloth would be dust. She looked at the 3 cells that lined the short hallway. There was one more door at the end, which hung crookedly on its one remaining hinge. Darkness filled the void beyond. but it was the third cell that held her interest. The iron door to the third cell had been smashed, its surface dented and folded in upon itself, but not from the outside. Selena raised Damaris before her as she faced the open cell. Whoever had been within had broken loose. A quick sweep of her torch across the threshold revealed nothing save for bones. Piles of bones, most of them splintered beyond recognition. She snapped her attention back to the hallway. Nothing moved. Gingerly, she stepped into the cell. Iron chains dangled from the walls, broken off where manacles would have been. The dark stone was covered in white marks, dozens and dozens of long, deep gouges in groups of four.
Fingernails.
She turned around to face the broken cell door. There were countless marks on it.
How could someone make such lines in iron? In stone?
She shuddered and quickly stepped out of the cell. She glanced back the way she had come, which glowed with the torches she'd lit, and then at the dark, open space that led onward.
You're near the center of the spiral. Just see what it is. See if it yields any answers. Elena said to look for clues.
She swung Damaris in her hand a few times, only to loosen her wrist, of course. Rolling her neck, she entered the gloom. There were no torch brackets here. The seventh portal revealed only a short passageway and one open door, an eighth gate. The walls on either side of the eighth door were damaged and claw-marked. Her head gave a violent throb, then quieted as she stepped nearer. Beyond the portal lay a spiral staircase that led upward, so high that she couldn't see the top, a straight ascent into darkness. But to where? The stairwell stank, and she held Damaris before her as she ascended the steps, taking care to avoid the fallen stones that littered the ground. Up and up and up she climbed, grateful for all her training. Her headache only grew worse, but when she reached the top, she forgot about fatigue, forgot about pain. She raised the torch. Shimmering obsidian walls surrounded her, reaching high, 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 so high that she couldn't see the ceiling. She was inside some sort of chamber at the bottom of a tower. Twining through the strange stone walls, greenish veins glittered in the torchlight. She had seen this material before, seen it.
The king's ring. The ring on Parrington's finger, and Kane's.
She touched the stone, and a shock went through her, her head pounding so badly she gagged. The eye of Elena gave a pulse of blue light, but quickly died, as if the light itself had been sucked toward the stone and devoured. She staggered back toward the stairs.
Gods above, what is this?
As if in response, a boom shuddered through the tower, so loud that she jumped back. It echoed and echoed, turning metallic. She raised her gaze to the darkness above.
I know where I am,
she whispered as the sound subsided. The clock tower. Chapter 44. Dorian stared at the odd spiral staircase. Selena had found the legendary catacombs beneath the library. Of course she had. If there were anyone in Aurelia who could find something like that, it would be Selena. He'd just been about to go to lunch when he'd seen Selena strut into the library, a sword strapped across her back. Perhaps he would have let her go about her own business were it not for her braided hair. Selena never tied back her hair unless she was fighting, and when she was about to get messy. It wasn't spying, and it wasn't sneaking. Dorian was merely curious. He followed her through long-forgotten hallways and rooms, always staying far behind, keeping his steps silent as Kaol and Brello had taught him years ago. He'd followed until Selena had disappeared down that staircase with a suspicious glance over her shoulder. Yes, Selena was up to something, and so Dorian had waited. 1 minute. 5 minutes. 10 minutes before following after her, to make it seem like an accident if their paths crossed. And now what did he see? Nothing but junk, old parchment and books tossed around. Beyond was a second spiral staircase, lit in the same manner as the previous one. A chill went through him. He didn't like any of this. What was Selena doing here? As if in answer, his magic screamed at him to run in the opposite direction, to find help. But the main library was a long way off, and by the time he could get there and back, something might happen. Something might already have happened. Dorian quickly descended the staircase and found a dimly lit hallway with a single door left ajar, two marks written on it in chalk. When he saw the cell-lined hallway beyond, he froze. The iron reeked, somehow, and made his stomach turn. "Selena?" he called down the hallway. No response. "Selena!" Nothing. He had to tell her to get out. Whatever this place was, neither of them should be here. Even if the power in his blood wasn't screaming it, he would have known. He had to get her out. Dorian descended the staircase. Selena half ran, half jumped down the stairs, getting away from the interior of the clock tower as fast as she could, though it had been months since she had encountered the dead during the duel with Kane. The memory of being slammed into the dark wall of the tower was still too near. She could see the dead grinning at her, and recalled Elena's words on Samhuin about the 8 guardians in the clock tower and how she should stay far from them. Her head ached so badly that she could barely focus on the steps beneath her feet. What had been in there? This had nothing to do with Gavin or Brannan. Maybe the dungeon had been built then, but this, all of this, had to be connected to the king. Because he had built the clock tower, built it out of obsidian the gods forbade, and stone they greatly feared. But the keys were supposed to be small, not mammoth like the clock tower, not— Selena hit the bottom of the clock stairs, and froze as she beheld the passage that contained the destroyed cell. The torches had been extinguished. She looked behind her, toward the clock tower. The darkness seemed to expand, reaching for her. She wasn't alone. Clutching her own torch, keeping her breathing steady, she crept along the ruined passage. Nothing. No sounds, no hint of another person in the passage, but halfway down, she stopped again and set down the torch. She marked all the turns, counted her steps as she came here. She knew the way in the dark, could find her way back blindfolded. And if she wasn't alone down here, then her torch was a beacon, and she was in no mood to be a target. She put out the torch with a grind of her heel. Complete darkness. She lifted Damaris higher, adjusting to the dark. Only it wasn't wholly black. A faint glow issued from her amulet, a glow that allowed her to see only dim shapes, as if the darkness were too strong for the eye. The hair on the back of her neck rose, the only other time she'd seen the amulet glow like that. Feeling along the wall with her other hand, not daring to turn around, she eased back toward the library. There was a scrape of nail against stone, and then the sound of breathing. It was not her own. It peered out from the shadows of the cell, clutching at its cloak with taloned hands. Food, for the first time in months. She was so warm, so teeming with life. It skittered out of the cell past her as she continued her blind retreat. Since they had locked it down here to rot, since they had gotten tired of playing with it, it had forgotten so many things. It had forgotten its own name, forgotten what it used to be, but it now knew more useful things, better things. How to hunt, how to feed, how to use those marks to open and close doors. It had paid attention during the long years. It had watched them make the marks. And once they had left, it had waited until it knew they weren't coming back, until he was looking elsewhere and had taken all his other things with him. And then it had begun opening the doors, one after another. Some shred of it remained mortal enough to always seal those doors shut, to come back here and form the marks that again locked the doors, to keep it contained. But she had come here. She had learned the marks. Which meant she had to know what had been done to it. She had to have been a part of it,
The breaking and the shattering and then the brutal rebuilding. And since she had come here, it ducked into another shadow and waited for her to walk into its claws. Selena stopped her retreat as the breathing halted. Silence. The blue light around her grew brighter. Selena put a hand to her chest. The amulet flared. It had been stalking the little men who lived above for weeks now, contemplating how they would taste. But there was always that cursed light near them, light that burned its sensitive eyes. There was always something that sent it skittering back here to the comfort of the stone. Rats and crawling things had been its only food for too long, their blood and bones thin and tasteless. But this female, it had seen her twice before. First with that same faint blue light at her throat, then a second time, when it hadn't seen her as much as smelled her from the other side of that iron door. Upstairs, the blue light had been enough to keep it away, the blue light that had tasted of power. But down here, down in the shadow of the black breathing stone, that light was diminished. Down here, now that it had put out the torches she'd ignited, there was nothing to stop it, and no one to hear her. It had not forgotten, even in the twisted pathways of its memory, what had been done to it on that stone table. With a dripping maw, it smiled. The eye of Elena burned bright as a flame, and there was a hiss in her ear. Selena whirled, striking before she could get a good look at the cloaked figure behind her. She glimpsed only a flash of withered skin and jagged, stumpy teeth before she sliced Damaris across its chest. It screamed, screamed like nothing she had ever heard as the ragged cloth ripped, revealing a bony, misshapen chest peppered with scars. It slammed a clawed hand into her face as it fell, its eyes gleaming from the light of the amulet. An animal's eyes, capable of seeing in the dark. The person, creature, from the hallway, from the other side of the door. She didn't even see where she had wounded it as she hit the ground. Blood rushed from her nose and filled her mouth. She staggered into a sprint back toward the library. She leapt over fallen beams and chunks of stone, letting the eye light her way, barely keeping her footing as she slipped on bones. The creature barreled after her, tearing through the obstacles as if they were no more than gossamer curtains. It stood like a man, but it wasn't a man. No, that face was something out of a nightmare. And its strength, to be able to shove aside those fallen beams as though they were stalks of wheat. The iron doors had been there to keep this thing in, and she had unlocked all of them. She dashed up the short stairs and through the first doorway. As she veered left, it caught her by the back of her tunic. The cloth tore. Selena slammed into the opposite wall, ducking as it lunged for her. Damaris sang, and the creature roared, falling back. Black blood squirted from the wound across its abdomen, but she hadn't cut deep enough. Surging to her feet, blood running down her back from where its claws had punctured, Selena drew a dagger with her other hand. The hood had fallen off the creature, revealing what looked like a man's face. Looked like, but no longer was. His hair was sparse, hanging off his gleaming skull in clumpy strings, and his lips. There was such scarring around his mouth, as though someone had ripped it open and sewed it shut, then ripped it open again. The creature pushed a gnarled hand against its abdomen, panting through those brown, broken teeth as it looked at her. Looked at her with such hatred that she couldn't move. It was such a human expression. "What are you?" she gasped, swinging Damaris as she took another step back. But it suddenly began clawing at itself, tearing at the dark robes, pulling out its hair, pushing against its skull, as if it would reach in and rip something out. And the shrieks it made, the rage and despair. The creature had been in the castle hallway, which meant this thing, this person, it knew how to use the word marks too. And with its unnatural strength, no mortal barrier would keep it contained. The creature tipped its head back, and its animal eyes settled on her again, fixating, a predator anticipating the taste of its prey.
Selena turned and ran like hell.
Dorian had just passed through the third door when he heard the scream of something not human. A series of crashing noises filled the passage, and the bellowing was cut short with each slam. "Selena!" Dorian yelled in the direction of the commotion. Another slam. "Selena!" Then, "Dorian, run!" The high-pitched shriek that followed Selena's command shook the walls. The torches sputtered. Dorian drew his rapier as Selena came flying up the stairs, blood leaking from her face, and slammed the iron door shut behind her. She raced toward him, a sword in one hand, a dagger in the other. The amulet on her neck glowed blue, like the hottest fire. Selena was upon him in a second. The iron door burst open behind them, and the thing that came out was not of this earth. It couldn't be. It looked like something that used to be a man, but was twisted and dried and broken, with hunger and madness written on every protruding bone in its body. Gods. Oh, gods. What had she awoken? They sprinted down the hall, and Dorian swore as he beheld the steps up to the next door. The time it would take for them to climb the stairs. But Selena was fast, and months of training had made her strong. To his eternal humiliation, as they hit the bottom of the stairs, she grasped him by the collar of his tunic, half hauling him up the steps. She hurled him into the hallway beyond the threshold. Behind them, the thing shrieked. Dorian turned in time to see its broken teeth glistening as it leapt up the stairs. Lightning swift, Selena slammed the iron door shut in the creature's face. Only one more door. He could picture the landing that led back to the first hallway, then that spiral staircase, then the second staircase, and what then, when they reached the main library? What could they do against this thing? As Dorian saw the naked terror on Selena's face, he knew she wondered the same. Selena threw Dorian into the hallway and then hurled herself backward, slamming into the last iron door that separated the thing's lair from the rest of the library. She put her weight into it and saw stars as the creature barreled into the other side. Gods, it was strong. Strong and wild and unyielding. For a moment, she stumbled away, and it tried to fling open the door. But Selena lunged, throwing her back against it. Its hand caught in the door, and the creature bellowed, latching its claws into Selena's shoulder as she pushed and pushed. Blood ran from her nose, mingling with the blood running down her shoulders. The claws dug in farther. Dorian rushed to the door, bracing his back against it. He panted, gaping at her. They had to seal the door. Even if this thing was intelligent enough to know the word marks, they had to buy some time for themselves. She had to give Dorian enough time to get away. They would run out of strength soon, and the thing would break through and kill them and whoever else got in its path. There had to be a lock somewhere, some way to shut it in, to slow it down just for a moment. "Push!" she breathed to Dorian. The creature gained an inch, but Selena shoved hard, drawing on the strength of her legs. It roared again, so loudly that she thought blood would pour from her ears. Dorian swore viciously. She glanced at him, not even feeling the pain of the talons embedded in her skin. Sweat ran down Dorian's brow as the metal began to heat along the edge of the door, glowing red, then fizzing. Magic was here. Magic was working right now, trying to seal the door against the creature. But it wasn't coming from her. Dorian's eyes were scrunched in concentration, his face deathly pale. She'd been right. Dorian did have magic. This was the information Yellowlegs had wanted to sell to the highest bidder, sell to the king himself. It was knowledge that could change everything. It could change the world. Dorian had magic. And if he didn't stop, he was going to burn himself out on the iron door. The door suffocated Dorian. He was in a coffin with no air. His magic couldn't breathe. He couldn't breathe. Selena swore as the creature gained ground. Dorian didn't even know what he was doing, only that he needed to seal this door. His magic had chosen the method. He pushed with his legs, pushed with his back, pushed his magic to the breaking point as he sought to weld the door. Spinning, heat, strangling. The magic slipped from him,
The creature pushed hard, sending Dorian staggering forward, but Selena threw herself harder against the door as he regained his balance. Selena's blade lay a few feet away, but what good was a sword? They had no hope of escaping with their lives. Selena's eyes met his, the question all too visible on her bloodied face. What have I done? Still gripped by the creature's talons, Selena couldn't even move as Dorian made a sudden lunge for Damaris. The creature tried again to break free, and the prince swung, making direct contact with its wrist. Its shriek penetrated her bones, but the door slammed shut completely. Selena stumbled, the beast's dismembered hand protruding from her shoulder. Its shriek penetrated her bones, but the door slammed shut completely. Selena stumbled, the beast's dismembered hand protruding from her shoulder. But she shoved back against the door as the creature again launched itself at it.
What the hell is it?
Dorian barked, throwing his weight back against the iron.
I don't know,
Selena breathed. Not having the luxury of a healer, she ripped the filthy hand from her shoulder, biting down on her scream.
It was down there, she panted.
Another thud from behind the door.
You can't seal that door with magic. We need to seal this another way.
And find something that would outsmart whatever unlocking spells this creature knew. Some way to keep it from getting out. She choked on the blood running from her nose into her mouth and spat it onto the floor.
There is a book, The Walking Dead. It'll have the answer.
Their eyes met and held. A line stretched taut between them. A moment of trust and a promise of answers from both of them.
Where's the book? Dorian asked. In the library. It'll find you. I can hold this for a few moments.
Not needing it to make sense, Dorian bolted upstairs. He ran through stack after stack, his fingers reading the titles faster and faster, knowing each second drained her strength. He was about to bellow his frustration when he ran past a table and beheld a large black volume resting upon its surface. The Walking Dead. She had been right. Why was she always right in her own odd way? He grabbed the book and hurtled to the secret chamber. She had shut her eyes, and her teeth were red with her own blood as she gritted them.
Here, Dorian said.
Without needing her to ask, he shoved himself into the door as she dropped to the floor and grabbed the book to her. Her hands trembled as she flipped a page, then another, and another. Her blood splattered onto the next.
To bind or to contain, she read aloud.
Dorian peered down at the dozens of symbols on the page.
This will work? He asked. I hope so, she wheezed,
already moving, clutching the open book in one hand.
Once the spell is cast, just passing over that threshold will hold it in place long enough to kill it.
She dipped her fingers into the wounds on her chest, and he could only gape as she made the first mark, and then the second, turning her battered body into an inkwell as she drew mark after mark around the door.
But for it to pass over the threshold, Dorian panted, we'd have to
open the door, she finished for him, nodding. He shifted so she could reach to draw above his head, their breath mingling. Selena let out a long breath as she made the last mark, and suddenly they glowed a faint blue. He held himself against the door, even as he felt the iron go rigid.
You can let go, she breathed, angling the sword. Let go. And get the hell behind me.
At least she didn't insult him by telling him to flee. With a final breath, he leapt away. The creature slammed into the door, flinging it open. And, just like she had said, it froze on the threshold. Its animalistic eyes wild as its head jutted out into the hall. There was a pause then. A pause during which Dorian could have sworn that Selena and the creature looked at each other. And its wildness calmed just for a moment. Just for a moment, and then Selena moved. The sword flashed in the torchlight, and there was the squish of flesh and crunch of bone. The neck was too thick to sever in one blow, so before Dorian could draw another breath, she struck again. The head hit the ground with a thud, black blood spraying from the severed neck, from the body that still stood paralyzed in the doorway.
Shit. Dorian breathed. Shit.
Selena moved again, slamming her sword down onto the head, skewering it as if she thought it could still bite. Dorian was still spewing a steady stream of curses as Selena reached out to the bloody marks around the door and swiped a finger through one of them. The creature's headless body collapsed, the holding spell broken. It had barely finished falling before Selena made four strikes, three to sever the emaciated torso in two, and a fourth to stab through where its heart would be. His bile rose up again as she angled her blade a fifth time, prying open the chest cavity of the creature. Whatever she saw made her face go even paler. Dorian didn't want to look. With grim efficiency, she kicked the two human head through the threshold, sending it knocking into the withered corpse of the creature. Then she shut the iron door and traced a few more marks over the threshold that glowed and then faded. Selena faced him, but Dorian looked at the door again, now sealed.
How long does that spell hold?
He almost choked on the word. I don't know, she said, shaking her head. Until I remove the marks, I think.
I don't think we can let anyone else know about this,
he said carefully. She laughed, a bit wildly. Telling others, even Kaol, would mean answering difficult questions, questions that could earn them both a trip to the butchering block. So, Selena said, spitting blood onto the stones, do you want to explain yourself first, or should I? Selena went first, because Dorian desperately needed to change his filthy tunic, and talking seemed like a good idea while he stripped naked in his dressing room. She sat on his bed, not looking much better herself, which was why they'd taken the dark servants' passages back to his tower. Beneath the library stretches an ancient dungeon, I think, Selena said, trying to keep her voice as soft as possible. She caught a gleam of golden skin through the half-open door to his dressing room and looked away. I think someone kept the creature in there until it broke out of its cell. It's been living under the library ever since. No need to tell him that she was starting to believe the king had created it. The clock tower had been built by the king himself, so he had to know what it connected to. She knew that the creature had been made, because in its chest had been a human heart. Selena was willing to bet that the king had used at least one word key to make both tower and monster.
What I don't understand, Dorian said from the dressing room, is why this thing can now break through the iron doors when it couldn't before.
Because I was an idiot and broke the spells on them when I walked through? A lie, sort of. But she didn't want to explain, couldn't explain, why the creature had been able to break out before and had never hurt anyone until now. Why it had been in the hallway that night and disappeared. Why the librarians were all alive and unhurt. But perhaps the man that the creature had once been, perhaps he hadn't been entirely lost. There were so many questions now. So many things left unanswered.
And that last spell you did on the door, it'll keep forever?
Dorian appeared in a new tunic and pants, still barefoot. The sight of his feet felt strangely intimate. She shrugged, fighting the urge to wipe her bloody, filthy face. He'd offered her his private bath, but she'd refused. That felt too intimate, too. The book says it's a permanent binding spell, so I don't think anyone but us will be capable of getting through. Unless the king wants to get in and uses one of the word keys. Dorian ran a hand through his hair, sitting down beside her on the bed.
Where did it come from?
I don't know, she lied. The king's ring flashed in her memory. That couldn't be the word key, though. Yellowlegs had said they were slivers of black rock, not forged into shapes. But he could have made the ring using the key. She understood now why Archer and his society both coveted and sought to destroy it. If the king could use it to make creatures, if he had made more. There had been so many doors, well over 200, all locked. And both Caltaine and Nehemia had mentioned wings, wings in their dreams, wings flapping through the Farian Gap. What was the king brewing there?
Tell me, Dorian pressed.
I don't know, she lied again, hating herself for it. How could she make him understand a truth that might shatter everything he loved?
That book, Dorian said,
How did you know it would help?
I found it one day in the library. It seemed to trail me. Showed up in my rooms when I hadn't brought it there, reappeared in the library. It was full of those kinds of spells.
But it's not magic, Dorian said, paling.
Not the magic that you have. This is different. I didn't even know if that spell would work.
Speaking of which, she said, meeting his eyes,
you have magic.
He scanned her face, and she quelled the urge to fidget.
What do you want me to say?
Tell me how you have magic, she breathed. Tell me how you have it and the rest of the world doesn't. Tell me how you discovered it and what manner of magic it is. Tell me everything.
He started to shake his head, but she leaned forward.
You just saw me break at least a dozen of your father's laws. You think I'm going to turn you over to him when you could just as easily destroy me?
Dorian sighed. After a moment, he said,
A few weeks ago, I erupted.
I got so mad at a council meeting that I stormed out and punched a wall. And somehow the stone cracked, and then the window nearby shattered too. Since then, I've been trying to figure out where it comes from, what kind of power it is, exactly, and how to control it. But it just happens.
Like when you used it to stop me from killing Kaol.
His neck bobbed as he swallowed hard. She couldn't meet his stare as she said,
Thank you for that. If you hadn't stopped me,
No matter what had happened between her and Kaol, no matter what she now felt for him, if she had killed him that night, there would be no coming back from it, no recovering. In some ways, it might have made her into just another version of that thing in the library. It made her sick to even think about it.
No matter what your magic might be, it saved more lives than his that night.
Dorian shifted. I still need to learn to control it, or else it might happen anywhere, in front of anyone. I've gotten lucky so far, but I don't think that luck will last.
Does anyone else know? Kaol? Roland?
No. Kaol doesn't know, and Roland just left with Duke Parrington. They're going to Morath for a few months to oversee the situation in Eelway.
It all had to be tied together. The king, the magic, Dorian's power, the word marks, even the creature. The prince went to his bed and hoisted up the mattress, pulling out a concealed book. Not the best hiding place, but a valiant effort.
I've been looking through the genealogy charts for Otterland's noble families. We've hardly had any magic users in the past few generations.
There were so many things she could tell him, but if she did, it would just result in too many questions.
So Selena merely studied the pages he displayed for her, flipping through one after another.
Wait, she said.
The puncture wounds in her shoulder gave a burst of pain when she lifted her hand to the book. She scanned the page he'd stopped on, her heart pounding as another clue about the king and his plans slipped into place. She let him continue on.
See,
Dorian said, closing the book.
I'm not quite sure where it comes from.
He was still watching her, warily. She met his gaze and said quietly,
10 years ago, many of the people I loved were executed for having magic.
Pain and guilt flickered in his eyes, but she went on.
So you'll understand when I say that I have no desire to see anyone else die for it, even the son of the man who ordered those deaths.
I'm sorry,
he said quietly.
So what do we do now?
Eat a giant meal, see a healer, take a bath. In that order. He snorted and playfully nudged her with a knee. She leaned forward, clasping her hands between her legs.
We wait. We keep an eye on that door to make sure no one tries to go in, and just take it day by day.
He took one of her hands in his own, staring toward the window.
Day by day.
Chapter 45. Selena didn't get a meal, or take a bath, or see a healer for her shoulder. Instead, she hurried to the dungeon, not even looking at the guards that she passed. Exhaustion ripped at her, but fear kept her moving, almost sprinting down the stairs.
They want to use me. They tricked me, Caltaine had said.
And in Dorian's book of Otterland's noble lineages, the Rompier family had been listed as one with a strong magical line, supposedly vanished 2 generations ago.
"Sometimes I think they brought me here," Caltaine had said, "not to marry Parrington, but for another purpose."
Brought Caltaine here, the way Cain had been brought here. Cain of the White Fang Mountains, where powerful shamans had long ruled the tribes. Her mouth went dry as she strode down the dungeon hallway to Caltaine's cell. She stopped in front, staring through the bars. It was empty. All that was left inside was Selena's cloak, discarded in the kicked-up hay, as if Caltaine had struggled against whoever had come to take her. Selena was at the guard station a moment later, pointing down the hall. "Where is Caltaine?" Even as she said it, a memory began to clear, a memory hazed by days spent sedated in the dungeons. The guards looked at each other, then at her torn and bloody clothes, before one said, "The Duke took her, to Morath, to be his wife." She stalked out of the dungeon, heading for her rooms.
"Something is coming," Caltaine had whispered, "and I am to greet it. My headaches are worse every day, and full of all those flapping wings."
Selena nearly stumbled on a step. "Roland has been suffering from awful headaches lately," Dorian told her a few days ago. And now Roland, who shared Dorian's Haveliard blood, had gone to Morath too. Gone or been taken. Selena touched her shoulder and felt the open, bloody wounds beneath. The creature had been clawing at its head as though it were in pain, and when it had shoved through the door, for those last few seconds it had been frozen in place, she had seen something human in its warped eyes, something that looked so relieved, so grateful for the death she gave him.
"Who were you?"
she whispered, recalling the human heart and the man-like body of the creature under the library.
"And what did he do to you?"
But Selena had a feeling she already knew the answer. Because that was the other thing the word keys could do, the other power that the word marks controlled. Life. "They hear wings in the Farian Gap," Nehemia had said. "Our scouts do not come back." The king was twisting far worse things than mortal men. Far, far worse things. But what did he plan to do with them? With the creatures, with the people like Roland and Caltaine? She needed to learn how many of the word keys he had found, and where the others might be. The next night, Selena examined the door to the library catacombs, her ears straining for any hint of sound on the other side. Nothing. The bloody word marks had turned flaky, but beneath the crust, as if welded onto the metal, was the dark outline of each mark. From high, high above, the muffled bellow of the clock tower sounded. It was 2 in the morning. How did no one know that the tower sat atop an ancient dungeon that served as the king's own secret chamber? Selena glowered at the door in front of her. Because who would even think about that as a possibility? She knew she should go to bed, but she'd been unable to sleep for weeks now, and saw no point in even trying anymore. It was why she'd come down here, to do something while sorting through her jumbled thoughts. She flipped the dagger in her right hand, angling it, and gave a light tentative tug on the door. It held. She paused, listening for any signs of life, and yanked harder. It didn't budge. Selena pulled a few more times, going so far as to brace a foot against the wall, but the door remained sealed. When she was at last convinced that nothing was getting through the door, in either direction, she loosed a long breath. No one would believe her about this place, just like no one would believe her wild, highly unlikely story about the word keys. To find the word keys, she'd first have to solve the riddle, and then convince the king to let her go for a few months. Years. It would take careful manipulation, especially since it seemed likely that he already had a key. But which one?
"They hear wings."
Yellowleg said that only combined could the 3 open the actual word gate, but alone each still wielded immense power. What other sorts of terrors could he create? If he ever got all 3 word keys, what might he bring into Aurelia to serve him?
Things were already stirring on the continent. Unrest was brewing. She had a feeling that he wouldn't tolerate it for long. No, it would only be a matter of time before he unleashed whatever he'd been creating upon them all and crush all resistance forever. Selena looked at the sealed door, her stomach turning. A half-dried pool of blood lay at the base of the door, so dark it looked like oil. She crouched, swiping a finger through the puddle. She sniffed at it, almost gagged at the reek, and then rubbed her finger against the pad of her thumb. It felt as oily as it looked. She got to her feet and reached into her pocket, looking for something to wipe off her fingers. She drew out a handful of papers. Scraps was more like it. Bits of things that she'd carried around to study whenever she had a spare moment. Frowning, she shifted through them to sort out which one she could spare to use as a makeshift handkerchief. One was just a receipt for a pair of shoes, which she must have accidentally tucked into her pocket that morning. And another. Selena lifted that one closer. "Ah, Time's Rift," had been written there. She'd scribbled it down when she'd been trying to solve the eye riddle, when everything in the tomb had felt like a great secret, one giant clue. Some help that had been, just another dead end. Cursing under her breath, she used it to wipe the grime off her fingers. The tomb still didn't make sense, though. What did the trees on the ceiling and the stars on the floor have to do with the riddle? The stars had led to the secret hole, but they could just as easily have been on the ceiling to do that. Why make everything backward? Would Brannon have been so foolish as to put all the answers in one place? She uncrumpled the scrap of paper, now stained with the creature's oily blood. Ah, Time's Rift. There was no inscription at Gavin's feet, only Elena's, and the words made little sense. What if they were only just logical enough to imply one thing, but really mean another? Everything in the tomb was backward, rearranged, the natural order in reverse, to hint that things were jumbled, misarranged. So the thing that should have been concealed was right in the open. But like everything else, its meaning was warped. And there was one person, one being, who could possibly tell her whether she was right. Chapter 46. "It's an anagram," she panted as she reached the tomb. Mort opened an eye.
"Clever, wasn't it? To hide it right where everyone could see?"
Selena eased open the door just wide enough to slip inside. The moonlight was strong, and her breath caught in her throat as she saw precisely where it fell. Trembling, she stopped at the foot of the sarcophagus and traced her fingers over the stone letters.
"Tell me what it means."
He paused, long enough for her to take a breath to start yelling at him, but then he said,
"I am the first."
And that was all the confirmation she needed, the first word key of the three. Selena moved around the stone body, her eyes on Elena's sleeping face. As she looked upon those fine features, she whispered the words. "In grief, he hid one in the crown of her he loved so well, to keep with her where she lay down, inside the starry cell." She lifted shaking fingers to the blue jewel in the center of the crown. If this was indeed the word key, what would she do with it? Would she be forced to destroy it? Where could she hide it so no one else would discover it? The question swirled. Threatening with all the difficulty they offered to send her running back to her rooms, but she steeled herself. She'd consider everything later. "I will not be afraid," she told herself. The gem in the crown glowed in the moonlight, and she gingerly pushed against one side of the jewel. It didn't move. She pushed again, staying closer to the side, digging her nail into the slight crease between the gem and the stone rim. It shifted, and turned over to reveal a small compartment beneath. It was no larger than a coin, and no deeper than a knuckle's length. Selena peered in. The moonlight revealed only gray stone. She stuck a finger inside, scraping every surface. There was nothing there, not even a shard. A shot of cold ran down her spine.
"So he truly has it," she whispered. "He found the key before me,
and he's been using its power for his own agenda.
He was barely 20 when he found it, Mort said softly. Strange, bellicose youth, always poking about in forgotten places where he wasn't wanted, reading books no one his age, or any age, should read. Though, Mort added, that does sound awfully like someone I know. And you somehow forgot to tell me until now? I didn't know what it was then. I thought he merely took something. It wasn't until you read the riddle that I suspected. It was a good thing he was made of bronze, otherwise she'd have smashed his face in. Do you have any suspicions about what he might have done with it? She turned the gem back over as she fought her rising terror. How should I know? He never said anything to me, though I'll admit I didn't condescend to speak with him. He came back here once he was king, but he only poked around for a few minutes and then left. I suspect he was looking for the other two keys.
How did he discover it was here? She asked, stepping away from the marble figure.
The same way you did, though far faster. I suppose that makes him cleverer than you.
Do you think he has the other two? She said, eyeing the treasure along the far wall, the stand where Damaris was displayed. Why hadn't he taken Damaris, one of the greatest heirlooms of his house?
If he had the others, don't you think that our doom would have come upon us already?
You think he doesn't have all of the keys? She asked, beginning to sweat despite the cold.
Well, Brannan once told me that if you have all three keys, then you have control over the word gate. I think it's fair to assume the current king would have tried his hand at conquering another realm, or enslaved creatures to conquer the rest of ours, if he had all three.
Word save us if that happens.
Word? Mort laughed. You're pleading with the wrong force. If he controls the word, you're going to have to find another means of saving yourself. And don't you think it's too much of a coincidence that magic stopped as soon as he began his conquest?
How magic stopped? He used the word keys to stifle magic. All magic, she added, but his own. And by extension, Dorian's.
She swore, then asked, So you think he might also have the second word key? I don't think a person could eliminate magic with only one, though I might be wrong. No one really knows what they're capable of.
Selena pressed the heels of her palms to her eyes. Oh, gods.
This was what Elena wanted me to learn. And now what am I supposed to do? Go hunt the third one down? Steal the other two from him?
Nehemia, you had to have known. You must have had a plan. But what were you going to do?
The now familiar abyss inside of her stretched wider. There was no end to it, that hollow ache. No end at all. If the gods had bothered to listen, she would have traded her life for Nehemia's. It would have been such an easy choice to make. Because the world didn't need an assassin with a coward's heart. It needed someone like Nehemia. But there were no gods left to bargain with. Not one to offer her soul to in exchange for another moment with Nehemia. Just one more chance to talk to her, to hear her voice.
Yet, maybe she didn't need the gods to talk to Nehemia.
Cain had summoned the Ritterak, and he certainly hadn't possessed a word key.
No,
Nehemia had said there were spells to open a temporary portal, just long enough for something to slip through. If Cain could do that, and if Selena could use the marks to freeze the catacombs creature in place and permanently seal a door, then couldn't marks open a portal to yet another realm?
Her chest tightened. If there were other realms, realms where the dead dwelled, in torment or in peace, who was to say that she couldn't speak to Nehemia?
She could do it. No matter the cost, it would only be for a moment, just long enough to ask Nehemia where the king was keeping the keys, or how to find the third, and to find out what else Nehemia might have known. She could do it. There were other things she needed to tell Nehemia, too. Words she needed to say, truths she needed to confess. And that goodbye, that final goodbye that she hadn't been allowed to make. Selena took Damaris off its stand again.
Mort, how long do you think a portal can stay open?
Whatever you are thinking. Whatever you are going to do right now, stop it. But Selena was already walking out of the tomb. He didn't understand, couldn't understand.
She had lost and lost and lost, been denied countless goodbyes. But not this time. Not when she could change all of that, even for a few minutes. This time it would be different. She'd need the Walking Dead, another dagger or two, some candles, and space. More space than the tomb could offer. The drawings that Kane had made had taken up a fair amount of room. There was a large passage one level up in the secret tunnels, a long hallway and a set of doors she'd never dared open. The hallway was wide, its ceiling high. Enough room to cast the spell, for her to open a portal into an other world. Dorian knew he was dreaming. He was standing in an ancient stone chamber he'd never seen before, facing a tall, crowned warrior. The crown was familiar, somehow, but it was the man's eyes that stunned him into inaction. They were his own eyes, sapphire, blazing. The similarities ended there. The man had shoulder-length dark brown hair, an angular, almost cruel face, and was at least a hand taller than Dorian himself. And he carried himself like a king. "Prince," the man said, his golden crown gleaming. There was something feral in his eyes, as if the king was more accustomed to roaming the wilderness than walking these marble halls.
"You must awaken."
"Why?" Dorian asked, not sounding very princely at all. Strange green symbols were glowing on the gray stones, similar to the symbols Selena had made in the library. What was this place?
"Because a line that should never be crossed is about to be breached. It puts this entire castle in jeopardy, and the life of your friend."
His voice wasn't harsh, but Dorian had a sense it could turn that way if provoked, which, judging by that ancient wildness, the arrogance and challenge in the king's eyes, seemed like a fairly easy thing to do. Dorian said, "What are you talking about? Who are you?"
"Don't waste time with pointless questions."
Yes, this king wasn't one to mince words at all.
"You must go to her rooms. There is a door hidden behind a tapestry. Take the third passage on the right. Go now, prince, or lose her forever."
And somehow, Dorian didn't think twice about the fact that Gavin, first king of Otterlin, had spoken to him. As he awoke, yanked on his clothes, grabbed his sword belt, and sprinted from his tower. Chapter 47. The cut on her arm throbbed, but Selena kept her hand steady as she dipped her finger again into her blood and traced the word mark on the wall, copying the symbols in the book with perfect precision. They formed an archway, a door, and her blood gleamed in the light of the candles she had brought. It had to be perfect. Each symbol had to be flawless, or else it wouldn't work. She kept pressing on the wound to keep it from clotting. Not everyone could harness the marks. No, the Walking Dead said there had to be power in the blood to do it. Kane had clearly had some trace of power. That must be why the king had rounded up Caltaine and Roland, too. He'd used the word keys to suppress magic, but he must have some way of harnessing the innate power in someone's blood, and the word marks must be able to access that power, too. She drew another symbol, nearly finished with the archway. Their power could warp things. It had warped Kane, but it had also allowed him to summon the Ritterak and gain even more power for himself. Thank the word, Kane was dead. There was one mark left to draw, the one that would bring her the person she so desperately needed to see, if only for a moment. It was complex, a weave of loops and angles. She took out her chalk and practiced on the floor until she got it right, then etched it in blood on the wall. Nehemia's name in word mark form. She examined the door she'd drawn and got to her feet, the book held in her clean hand. She cleared her throat and began to read the words on the page. She didn't know the language. Her throat burned and contracted, as if fighting the sounds, but she panted through it, the words making her teeth ache like she'd just come in from the cold and was drinking something hot. And then the final words were out, her eyes watering. No wonder this kind of power fell out of favor. The symbols written in her blood began to glow green,
one after another, until the whole archway was a line of light. The stones within its borders darkened, 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 then disappeared. The blackness within the green archway seemed to reach out for her. It had worked. Holy gods, it had worked! Was that what waited for her when she died? Nehemia had gone here?
Nehemia?
She whispered, her throat raw from the spell. There was nothing. Nothing there. Just a void. Selena looked at the book, then to the wall and the symbols she'd drawn. She'd written it correctly. The spell was right.
Nehemia?
She whispered toward that endless dark. There was no response. Perhaps it needed time. The book hadn't specified how long it would take. Maybe Nehemia had to travel through whatever this realm was. So Selena waited. The longer she stared into that endless void, the more it seemed to stare back. It was just like that dream. The one where she was standing on the edge of that ravine. You are nothing more than a coward.
Please, Selena whispered into the dark.
There was a sudden yelp from far, far above, and Selena whirled toward the stairs at the end of the hall. Moments later, faster than should be possible, Fleetfoot bounded down the steps, racing for her. Not for her, Selena realized as she beheld the wagging tail, the panting, the yip of what could only be joy. Not for her, because... Selena looked toward the portal. At the same moment, Fleetfoot skidded to a halt. And then everything stopped as she beheld the shimmering figure standing just on the other side of the portal. Fleetfoot lay on the ground, tail still wagging, whining softly. The edges of Nehemia's body rippled and blurred, fracturing with some sort of inner light. But her face was clear. Her face was... It was her face. Selena sank to her knees. She felt the warmth of her tears before she realized she was crying.
I'm sorry, was all she could say. I'm so sorry.
But Nehemia remained on the other side of the portal. Fleetfoot whined again.
I may not cross this line, Nehemia said gently to the dog. And neither may you.
Her tone shifted, and Selena knew Nehemia was now staring at her. I thought you were smarter than this.
Selena looked up.
The light radiating off the princess didn't reach through the glowing portal, as if there truly were some sort of line, some final boundary.
I'm sorry, Selena whispered again. I just wanted...
There is no time for you to tell me what you long to say. I came here because you need to be warned. Do not open this portal again. The next time you do, I will not be the one who answers your call. And you will not survive the encounter. No one has the right to open the door to this realm, no matter how fierce their grief.
She hadn't known, hadn't meant... Fleetfoot pawed at the floor.
Goodbye, my dear friend, Nehemia said to the dog, and began walking into the blackness.
Selena just stood there, unable to move or think. Her throat burned with those pent-up words, the words that now choked the life out of her.
Elentia.
Nehemia paused to look back at her. The void seemed to be swirling, swallowing her up bit by bit.
You will not understand yet, but... I knew what my fate was to be, and I embraced it. I ran toward it, because it was the only way for things to begin changing, for events to be set in motion. But no matter what I did, Elentia, I want you to know that in the darkness of the past 10 years, you were one of the bright lights for me. Do not let that light go out.
And before Selena could reply, the princess was gone. There was nothing in the dark, as though Nehemia had never been, as though she'd made it all up.
Come back, she whispered. Please, come back.
But the darkness remained the same, and Nehemia was gone.
There was a scrape of footsteps, but not from the portal. Rather, it came from her left, from Archer, who stood there gaping.
I don't believe it, he whispered.
Chapter 48. Selena had Damaris drawn and leveled at Archer in a heartbeat. Fleetfoot growled at him, but kept back, a step behind Selena.
What are you doing here? It was inconceivable that he'd be here. How had he gotten in?
I've been tracking you for weeks, Archer said, eyeing the dog. Nehemia told me about the passages, showed me the way in. I've been down here almost every night since she died.
Selena glanced at the portal. If Nehemia had warned her not to open the portal, then she was certain her friend didn't want Archer seeing it either. She moved to the wall, keeping well away from the blackness as she ran her hand over the glowing green marks, making to wipe them away.
What are you doing? Archer demanded.
Selena pointed Damaris at him, furiously wiping at the marks.
They didn't budge.
Whatever this spell was, it was far more complex than the one that had sealed the library door. Merely swiping away the marks wouldn't undo it. But Archer now stood between her and the book where she had the closing spell flagged.
Selena rubbed harder. It was all terribly wrong.
Stop! Archer lunged, getting past her guard with unnatural ease as he grasped her wrist. Fleetfoot barked a ferocious warning, but a sharp whistle from Selena had the dog staying well away. She whirled to Archer, already making to dislocate the arm that held her. But the green light of the portal illuminated the plane of his black wrist, where the sleeve of his tunic had fallen back. A black tattoo of some snake-like creature appeared there.
She'd seen that before. Seen it? Selena raised her eyes to his face.
Do not trust. She had thought Nehemia's drawing had been of the royal seal, a slightly warped version of the wyvern. But it had actually been of this tattoo. Of Archer's tattoo.
Do not trust Archer, she'd been trying to tell her.
Selena shoved back from him, drawing a dagger. She pointed both Damaris and the knife at him. How much had Nehemia hidden from Archer and his contacts? If she didn't trust them, then why had she told them all that she did?
Tell me how you learned this,
Archer whispered, his eyes going back to the portal and the darkness beyond.
Please, did you find the word keys? Is that how you did it?
What do you know of the word keys? She got out.
Where are they? Where did you find them?
I don't have the keys.
You found the riddle, though, Archer panted. I let you find that riddle I hid in Davis's office. It took us 5 years to find that riddle, and you must have solved it. I knew you'd be the one to solve it. Nehemia knew, too.
Selena was shaking her head. He didn't know that there had been a second riddle. A riddle with a map to the keys. The king has at least one key. But where the other two are, I don't know.
Archer's eyes darkened. We suspected as much. That was why she came here in the first place, to learn whether he'd actually stolen them, and if so, how many.
That was why Nehemia couldn't leave, she realized. Why she'd opted to stay here instead of returning to Eelway. To fight for the one thing that was more important than the fate of her country.
The fate of the world. Of other worlds, too. I don't have to get on a ship tomorrow.
We'll tell everyone, Archer breathed.
We'll tell everyone he has them, and—
No! If we reveal the truth, then the king will use the keys to do more damage than you could possibly imagine. We'll lose any chance of stealth we have to find the others.
He took a step closer to her.
Fleetfoot let out another warning growl, but kept her distance.
Then we'll find where he's keeping the key. And the others, and then we'll use them to overthrow him. Then we'll create a world of our own making.
His voice was building into a frenzy, each word harsher than the next. She shook her head. I would sooner destroy them than use their power.
Archer chuckled. She said the same thing. Said they should be destroyed, put back in the gate if we could discover a way. But what is the point of finding them if we don't use them against him, make him suffer?
Her stomach turned. There was more he wasn't saying, more that he knew. So she sighed and shook her head, beginning to pace. Archer was silent as she walked. Silent until she halted, as if suddenly understanding. She raised her voice. He should suffer, for as long as possible. And so should the people who destroyed us, who made us into what we are.
Aerobin? Clarice?
She chewed on her lip. Nehemia could never understand that. She never tried to.
You're right,
They should be used.
He studied her warily enough that she came closer and tilted her head to the side, contemplating his words, contemplating him. And Archer bought it.
That was why she left the movement. She left a week before she died. We knew it was a matter of time before she went to the king to expose us all, to use what she'd learned to grant clemency to Ealway, and to annihilate us with the same stroke. She said she'd rather have one all-powerful tyrant than a dozen of them.
Selena said with deadly calm, "She would have ruined everything for you. She almost ruined everything for me, too. She told me to stay away from the word keys. She tried to keep me from solving the riddle."
"Because she wanted to keep the knowledge to herself, for her own gain."
She smiled even as she felt the world shifting beneath her. And she couldn't explain why, or how she began to wonder. But if it was true, she had to get him to admit it. She found herself saying,
"You and I worked for everything we have. We had everything taken away and used against us, too. Other people can't even begin to fathom the things we were forced to do. I think that's why I was so infatuated with you when I was a girl. I knew, even then, that you understood. That you knew what it was like to be raised by people like Aerobin and Clarice, and then sold. You understood me then."
She willed her eyes to gleam, her mouth to tighten as if she were keeping it from wobbling. Blinking furiously, she murmured,
"But I think I finally understand you now, too."
She reached out a hand as if to grab his, but lowered it, making her face tender and soft and bittersweet.
"Why didn't you tell me sooner? We could have been working toward this for weeks. We could have tried to solve the riddle together.
If I'd known what Nehemia was going to do, how she could lie to me again and again. She betrayed me. In every possible way, Archer. She lied to my face, made me believe..."
Her shoulders slumped. After a long moment, she took a step toward him. "Nehemia was no better than Aerobin or Clarice in the end. Archer, you should have told me about everything. I knew it wasn't Mollison. He wasn't smart enough. If you told me, I could have taken care of it.
A risk. A leap of faith.
For you. For us. I would have taken care of it."
But Archer gave her a hesitant smile.
"She spent so much time complaining about Councilman Mollison that I knew he'd be the easiest one to blame. And thanks to that competition, he already had a connection to Grave."
"Grave didn't recognize that you weren't Mollison?" she asked as calmly as she could.
"You'd be surprised how easily men see what they want to see. A cloak, a mask, and some fine clothes. He didn't think twice." "Oh, gods. Gods. So the night at the warehouse," she went on, raising an eyebrow, an intrigued co-conspirator. "Why did you really kidnap Kaol?" "I had to get you away from Nehemia. And when I took that arrow for you, I knew you'd trust me, if only for that night. I apologize if my methods were harsh. Trick of the trade, I'm afraid."
Trust him, lose Nehemia, and lose Kaol. He had isolated her from her friends, the same thing she'd suspected Roland had wanted to do with Dorian.
And that threat the king received before Nehemia's death.
"The threat on her life," Selena said, her lips curling upward. "You planted that threat, didn't you? To show me who my real friends are, who I can really trust."
"It was a gamble, just as I'm gambling now. I didn't know whether or not the captain would warn you. Seems I was right."
"Why me? I'm flattered, of course, but you're clever. Why couldn't you have figured out the riddle on your own?"
Archer bowed his head. "Because I know what you are, Selena. Aerobin told me one night, after you went to Endovir."
She shoved the twinge of genuine pain and betrayal down until it couldn't distract her.
"And for our cause to succeed, we need you. I need you. Some members of the movement are already starting to fight me, to question my leadership. They think my methods are too rough."
That explained the fight she'd seen with that young man. He took a step toward her.
"But you,
Gods, from the moment I saw you outside the willows, I've known how good we'd be together. The things we'll accomplish.
I know, she said,
looking into those green eyes, so bright in the matching lights of the portal.
Archer, I know.
He didn't see the dagger coming until she'd shoved it into him. But he was fast, too fast, and turned just in time to have it pierce his shoulder instead of his heart. He staggered back with dazzling speed, wrenching her dagger so swiftly that she lost her grip on the blade and had to brace a hand on the arch of the portal to keep from stumbling. Her bloodied palm slapped against the stones, and a greenish light flared beneath her fingers. A word mark burned, then faded. Not giving herself time to look at what she'd done, she leapt for him with a roar, dropping Damaris to grab two more daggers. He had his own blade up in a moment, dancing away lightly as she sliced for him. "I'm going to tear you apart piece by piece," she hissed, circling him. But then a shudder ran through the floor, and something in the void made a sound. A guttural growl. Fleetfoot let out a low warning whine. She rushed toward Selena, pushing against her shins, herding her toward the stairs. The void shifted, mist now swirling inside, parting long enough to reveal rocky, ashen ground. And then a figure emerged through the mist.
Nehemia?
She whispered. She'd come back to help, to explain everything. But it was not Nehemia who stepped through the portal. Kaol couldn't sleep. He stared up at the canopy of his bed, the will he'd seen on Selena's desk glaring in his mind. He couldn't stop thinking about it. He'd just let her kick him out of her rooms without telling her what the will meant to him. And maybe he deserved her hate, but she had to know that he didn't want her money. He had to see her, just long enough to explain. He ran a finger along the scab down his cheek. Rushing footsteps sounded down the hall, and Kaol was already out of bed and half-dressed by the time someone began pounding on his door. The person on the other side got all of one knock in before Kaol flung open the door, a dagger concealed behind his back. He lowered the blade the second he beheld Dorian's face, shining with sweat, but he didn't sheath it. Not when he saw the raw panic in Dorian's eyes, the sword belt and scabbard dangling from the prince's clenched fingers. Kaol believed in trusting his instinct. He didn't think humans had survived for so long without developing some ability to tell when things were wrong. It wasn't magic, it was just gut feeling. And it was Kaol's instinct that told him who this was about before Dorian opened his mouth. "Where?" was all Kaol asked. "Her bedroom," Dorian said. "Tell me everything," Kaol ordered, hurrying back into his room. "I don't know, I think she's in trouble." Kaol was already shrugging on a shirt and tunic. Then he stomped his feet into his boots before grabbing his sword. "What kind of trouble?" "The kind that had me coming to get you instead of the other guards." That could mean anything, but Kaol knew Dorian was too smart, too aware of how easily words could be overheard in this castle. He sensed the tightening in Dorian's body, a heartbeat before the prince launched into a run and grabbed him by the back of his tunic. "Running," Kaol said under his breath, "will attract attention." "I already wasted too much time coming to get you," Dorian retorted, but he matched Kaol's brisk but calm pace. It would take 5 minutes to get to her rooms if they kept this speed, if there were no distractions. "Is anyone hurt?" Kaol asked quietly, trying to keep his breathing even, keep his focus. "I don't know," Dorian said. "You have to give me more than that," Kaol snapped. The leash on his temper strained with each step. "I had a dream," Dorian said, so soft only he could hear. "I was warned that she was in danger, that she was a danger to herself." Kaol almost stopped, but Dorian had said it with such conviction. "You think I wanted to come get you?" Dorian said, not looking at him. Kaol didn't reply, but hurried his steps as much as he could without attracting undue attention from the servants and guards still on duty. He could feel his heart hammering through every inch of his body by the time they got to her suite doors. Kaol didn't bother knocking, and nearly took the front door off its hinges as he burst through. Dorian on his heels. He was at her bedroom door in an instant, and didn't bother knocking on it either. But the handle didn't move. The door was locked. He shoved into it again.
Selena?
Her name was more of a growl that rippled out of him. No answer. He fought his rising panic, even as he drew a dagger, even as he listened for any signs of trouble.
Selena!
Nothing. Kaol waited all of a second before he slammed his shoulder into the door. Once. Twice. The lock snapped. The door burst open, revealing her empty bedroom.
Holy gods,
Dorian whispered. The tapestry on the wall had been folded back to reveal an open door. A secret stone door that opened into a dark passage. It was how she'd gotten out to kill Grave. Dorian drew the sword from the scabbard. In my dream, I was told I would find this door. The prince stepped forward, but Kaol stopped him with an arm. He'd think about Dorian and his clairvoyant dreams later. Much later.
You're not going down there.
Dorian's eyes flashed. Like hell I'm not! As if in answer, a guttural, bone-grinding growl sounded from within. And then a scream. A human scream, followed by a high-pitched bark. Kaol was running for the passage before he could think. It was pitch black, and Kaol almost tumbled down the stairs. But Dorian, close behind, grabbed a candle.
Stay upstairs,
Kaol ordered, still charging down. If he'd had time, he would have locked Dorian in the closet rather than risk bringing the Crown Prince into danger. But what the hell had that growl been? The bark, he knew. The bark was Fleetfoot. And if Fleetfoot was down there... Dorian kept following him.
I was sent here, he said.
Kaol took the stairs by twos and threes, hardly hearing the prince's words. Had that scream been hers? It had sounded male. But who else could be down here with her? Blue light flashed from the bottom of the stairs. What was that? A roar shook the ancient stones. That was not human, nor was it Fleetfoot. But what? They had never found the creature that had been killing the champions. The murders had just stopped. But the damage he'd seen to those corpses... No, Selena had to be alive.
Please, he begged any gods who would listen.
Kaol leapt onto the landing and found three doorways. The blue light had flashed from the right. They ran. How had such a massive cavern of chambers been forgotten, and how long had she known about them? He flew down a spiral staircase, and then a new greenish light began shining steadily, and he turned onto a landing to see... He didn't know where to look first. At the long hallway, where one wall glowed with an arch of green symbols, or at the... The world that showed through the arch, depicting a land of mist and rock. At Archer, cowering against the opposite wall, chanting strange words from a book held in his hands. At Selena, prostrate on the floor. Or at the monster. A tall, sinewy thing, but definitely not human. Not with those unnaturally long fingers tipped with claws, white skin that looked like crumpled paper, a distended jaw that revealed fish-like teeth, and those eyes, milky and tinged with blue. And there was Fleetfoot, hackles raised and fangs bared, refusing to let the demon anywhere near Selena, even as the half-grown pup limped, even as the blood pooled from the wound in her right hind leg. Kaol had all of two heartbeats to size up the monster, to take in every detail, to mark his surroundings.
Go!
He snarled at Dorian before launching himself at the creature.